That was nothing about witchcraft, that was about women, like hating women and taking the power and the community off them. Most, probably nearly all people who got tried as a witch obviously weren't a witch, they just had knowledge that patriarchy didn't like. And I wasn't prepared for the emotion when I got there, reading all the stuff about it. It absolutely devastated me, and I'm cross because it wasn't about witchcraft, it was about just hating women, and I feel it even now. And when you've got two little girls as well,
yeah,
you've got to shield them from the BS that they pick up. You know, it's like, are we still dealing with this? Devil worshippers all the time. When I go out, you know, like with friends to bars and stuff, I always wear my pentacle.
Because
it's my protection amulet.
Yeah.
And when I don't have it, I'm lost, even though I've got it tattooed as well.
Yeah.
And people, like, especially doormen, say, oh my gosh, that's a symbol of the devil. Mm. Suddenly I'm like, gosh, a lot of this stuff that's happened to me, I have actually brought on myself, you know, because I was just so angry. I was so, so angry. And you're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to feel your feelings. Your feelings are valid, but do not let them consume you. And I was absolutely letting them consume me because I was so cross.
So on this week of Disciples of Truth, we have Emma Swales on from the Bell Witch podcast. I'm keeping that.
The Bell Witch podcast.
So thank you for coming on.
It's all right.
I was just doing a bit of research then, and I thought that I'd test you. I'm joking.
I was going to say
how many different witches there are, and there were 23. I kept on scrolling.
There's loads. There's way more than 23.
What category do you fall in then?
Well, I used to say I was Wiccan. When I began, I was Wiccan.
Yeah.
Now I'm more just a green witch.
Yeah.
And that's because of the whole gardening, herbal, growing.
Foraging and stuff.
Yeah. And I guess eclectic is another one where you don't really follow any set rules because it's not mainstream religion. That's one of the beautiful things about witchcraft. If your intuition leads it, it's correct.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong way. But yeah, I think people can change what kind of witch they are as they learn more.
Yeah.
Like they change and they evolve.
Yeah. Well, I like that as well because it's like spirituality opposed to religion. It's more, it's not confining you in a box. You are free to be many things. It's like an occupation where you just go, oh, I'm going to be a plasterer for life now, and that's me.
I mean, how boring does that sound though?
It's very boring.
Just do that.
It pays the wages, but it's boring.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your biggest misconception of people with witches?
Oh, devil worshippers all the time. When I go out, you know, like with friends to bars and stuff, I always wear my pentacle. Because it's my protection amulet.
Yeah.
And when I don't have it, I'm lost, even though I've got it tattooed as well.
Yeah.
And people, like, especially doormen, say, oh my gosh, that's the symbol of the devil. Do a magic trick, you know, you are evil. And I'm just like, dude, there's no devil. Devil belongs to your religion, not my religion.
Yeah.
And I get that so much. But, you know, witchcraft isn't evil, it's balance. It's like night and dark, good and bad, because that's humanity and the world and
yin and yang.
Yeah, exactly. So I do get a bit like, oh, there's no devil. This is not Hollywood.
But when it comes to it, and just how you said Hollywood there, when I first heard witch, and it automatically went to, what's it called now, the film with the three women?
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. That comes to my mind, and it's always with the wood floor when they're doing all the rituals there, and it does go a bit dark, but I guess that is a lot of people's perception, is what they see on TV, that's what they think it is. And it's quite implanted, isn't it?
And it seems quite purposeful to disconnect us from the energies of the land, from healing ourselves internally.
Yeah.
Because capitalism wants us to suffer, you know. So that's a right rabbit hole.
No. I don't mind you talking. But it's when I was getting more into the spirituality and seeing how things have operated, and I was looking at witches, and they were saying, and it turned my mind. I'm like, there wasn't witches, there were people who had knowledge of living more in tune with nature and knew how to use herbs, herbal remedies, or live off the land. And the powers that be don't like that, because it means that you are you're independent, you don't need that hand. But
not
if you look at
to manipulate, are you?
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's just like when I watched a film quite recently, the one where it's got DiCaprio and De Niro and it's got the Indians and it's showing how they moved in. And they just took everything off them. They were very giving people.
Yeah.
But no. So what's your take on like the devil then?
It didn't exist like, you know, mainstream Church of England. They made that up. You know, in my spiritual beliefs, there is gods that resemble Pan and, you know, goats and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're like keeper of the woods. They're people who don't need to be humanity's servants. They are their own servants and we should be serving them, really.
Yeah.
But they're not evil, you know, they're just the fair and the just.
Yeah.
So the devil isn't a thing to me. And I don't think it ever was, to be honest.
No,
it's just,
no.
To me, that's like Hollywood as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was saying a guy, and that's what he was kind of saying, he's making up this, like this entity that we then perceive in his mind of this horny red...
Horny?
Well, horny,
right,
horny,
though.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
Right.
It's all tied in. It's just, and I think they're just lower nature things and the lower mind. So we all have a lower mind in us, and it's which one, like, I think you spoke about it on the podcast that I just listened to, and other people have mentioned, is it's how you'd use a knife. You can use it to butter bread or you can use it to stab someone.
Yes.
It's totally down to your intention and what you want to do with it.
I like that.
So
yeah.
What kind of rituals do you have then? Do you do like daily rituals or is it?
There's lots of teeny tiny little ones, you know, that are not huge, beautiful circles. I mean, I do them as well, but they take a lot of prep and they take sometimes other people. Daily rituals, it's waking up mindfully is a big one. So I used to wake up and be like, oh gosh, you know, like real rat run and it's Monday and oh, hey, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of along the lines of manifesting and creating the day you want. So I wake up. I try not to look at the phone. The phone should not be in the bedroom. I've got a grounding mat, so I'll wake up, stretch, put my feet on the grounding mat, take a few moments to be like, oh, I'm glad I'm awake. I'm glad I'm alive, you know, and all that stuff before you get into looking after the kids.
Yeah.
Gratitudes on the way to school. You know, I'm very interested now, I'm a witch, in looking at nature and the details of nature, especially this time of year, you know, when all the flowers are blooming. And then there's also me teaching my kids to do that so they have a positive life rather than being down in the dumps. You know, I'm always mindful, sort of asking them, how was your day? And they focus on the negative, you know, and I'm like, but tell me something good. Tell me something awesome. So, yeah, there's loads of teeny tiny little ones. Being aware of your actions, what you want out of something, really simple. Like, why am I drinking this cup of tea? Because it makes me feel good inside.
Yeah,
you know, if
yeah.
it's herbal tea, it can't think of the word. I hate actions. No, it's gone.
Don't worry about it.
Not nurtures. Like, refreshes you.
Yeah, yeah.
Refreshes you.
Yeah,
inside.
Nurtures you. Yeah, it doesn't nurture you as well. Are you into making herbal teas then?
Yeah, I'm not very complicated. I tend to just grow nettles and really obvious stuff we know that we're told were weeds, which are not weeds. No way, Jose. So I've got nettles in my yard and I'm like, grow, my pretties, grow. I want to make tea out of you. Lavender's my favourite, so I use lavender a lot. So I bake with it and I make tea out of it and I put it in little bags and sleep with it and, you know, put a few in the washing machine and all sorts. Like, lavender is so versatile.
Because I heard you speaking as well on the podcast about how it keeps on ringing true on, like, it doesn't get passed down anymore, this knowledge. I know, like, when I was younger, if me and my brother or someone would bump us, like, my mum would always be like, with Avon stuff, like lavender or whatever, oh, there's this and that, and they're all like, she's a mad witch. But there's some real knowledge to be passed down. And I think for women, especially, they're not regarded to hold any knowledge anymore. It's like you just see them decaying into putting them into old people's homes and it's not really passed down. And there's kind of, there's that disconnect, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
So
The crone aspect of life is such a powerful aspect of life. You know, isn't it interesting that women are not valued as they get older because apparently they can't make babies, but everything else is just kind of like, push to the wayside.
Yeah.
you know.
Because, like, elders in tribes, like in the Amazon and Incas, they say that the women are held to the highest regard because they've seen it all and they know how to, they have the knowledge. So it's always passed down. So they're always held up and looked after. And I look at other, there's other cultures as well. Asian cultures, they really look after the grandparents. And I think over in West, we kind of throw them to the side and put them into homes. And I've seen it starting to change a little bit now when we're build when we're working on new housing sites or whatever. When the siblings go and buy a house and they'll put a granny flat at the bottom of the garden, just so they're closer and they can be looked after.
Flat.
A granny flat.
I like that.
But just so they can be all closer together and kind of not just divvy them off to the side, like, and or maybe turn up on a Sunday and give them one visit. It just keeps it all a bit nicer, doesn't it?
Yeah. And as our relationship with aging is really toxic, you know, and I make a big effort to not be like, oh, I hate my wrinkles and stuff. It's like, it's amazing that I'm still here and alive. I mean, my mum died when she was this age. I am now.
Wow.
Quite extreme illness, so I'm really grateful that I'm well and I'm live and kicking. But you know, women are told you need this beauty, you need that beauty cream, you need to dye your hair, you can't have long grey, and it's not fair because you know men age and they're like silver fox, you know, oh look at those silver highlights, whereas women are like, oh, shouldn't even dye her.
Yeah,
so it's so unfair how pushed down we are.
It's like put into boxes though, isn't it? And it is, it's like you see everyone now going around with like the duck lips, and it's, if they're naturally, it's fair enough, but why are we all wanting to look the same all the time? I just don't get it. It's no one wants to live their authentic life of, and I always like that where it goes back to, if you are a soul and you picked this body that you're in, you picked it perfect. You made that choice. Whether you believe that or not, I think it's a good way, well-rounded, like, to go, yeah, I'm not the most handsome person in the room, but I picked me for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I've got to kind of honour that. Why would I want to change it? Yeah, you can maybe build muscle and change it in certain ways like that, but why do you want to go and, I don't know, overdo it, change your natural features?
You've got to do it for yourself, really. If it's for yourself.
Yeah.
But if it's for other people, don't do it.
Yeah.
Just do everything just to make yourself happy.
Yeah. Well, you've got to live with yourself, haven't you?
That's exactly, the main one. Yeah.
What's the difference between, like, white magic, black magic, and is there another one as well?
Well, I think the white witch thing is from sort of 70s and 80s. I think it's just a term. I mean, I say I'm a green witch, not about magic, about what I work with, you know, like the earth and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But magic can be anything. It can be good. It can be bad.
Yeah.
Very rarely people are just like, I only do black magic. I mean, I couldn't even live for myself doing any magic like that. Because, you know, I think being a witch, you gain a responsibility, you know, and an acknowledgement about your actions and especially your words, what you say to others and yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it all has an impact on your life, and you can't just be like, oh, I've sinned, God forgive me. You've got to actively make a difference.
Yeah.
And so it is just the magic you use. I mean, you know, it's like you can have a good attitude or a bad attitude. You can do good magic or bad magic or balanced magic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you asked me about doing spells on people. Just the way you termed it made me quite uncomfortable because it's like, I wouldn't do anything on anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I do things for people to aid them in what they want from life.
Yeah.
But it is very much, I made you this thing, here it is for you.
Yeah.
You use it how you need to use it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because the only way that I do, what if you say it's casting spells, I don't know. I think it's just intention, like send blessings to people, especially if like they're struggling or you can see someone's going through something. Just putting a bit of intention with a meditation or a prayer. It's insane sometimes, and we're not saying all the time. I think the universe can feel if there is that neediness that you want that something to come back out of it. But I've said it before. It were about someone, I'd sent some blessings. They were going through a rough time, and my body lit up like I were on ecstasy, like the whole, and I didn't know what the hell it was. Yeah. But I think it was just a sign of, you know, that love that you were giving out and the intention behind it, that it was pure. So you got a pure feeling back. But I think everything is intention, isn't it?
Absolutely,
And a lot of us just, I know for me, we go on autopilot half the time, not using intention, just going through life and not being present with it. And I think the awareness to bring to your children, like, well, that's what we do with the gratitude. Tilly's not old enough yet, but Archie, we ask him at the end of the night, he's like, what's your three best things that's happened today?
That's
so it makes
good.
Him like aware to look out for it, rather than just, I know we all say, oh, if you had a good day, you had a good day, and it's just, they'll give you the same response back, don't they?
That is witchcraft, though. You doing that is, I believe that's witchcraft.
What is it, asking if
just,
the gratitude?
Yeah, looking at the positives and, you know, deciding what you're going to focus, because, like, you know, what you put your energy towards gives it a vibration. You can higher vibration or you can lower your vibration.
Yeah.
And it is a harsh pill to swallow when you're depressed. I mean, there's a lot more to it than just think positive thoughts. But I've been depressed most of my 20s because I were upset with my life before I started calling myself a witch. Yeah. And it's your ego that makes that decision before you even decide the kind of day you're going to have. You know, it's up to you how you react to something when people go, oh, I'm triggered. It's like, well, it's up to you how you give that person your power, saying I'm triggered. It's like, yeah, tell them to be responsible and take accountability for what they've said, but do not let it have that power over you. You make the decision. Your ego makes the decision to let it go, take nothing personally. Boundaries. It's amazing. Witchcraft is so amazing for my mental health.
I get this off people now that when they get triggered or they're angry with something, I'm like, why are you giving that power away? And they're like, well, they've annoyed me. I'm like, no, there's only you that can give that acceptance and then be annoyed.
Exactly.
I'm like, how are you so calm? And I says, it took a long time to get to this point, but you can't be giving your power away. And I says, where your triggers are is where your power is. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to realise that's where there's something for you to work on. And that's how you overcome. You were mentioning that you were depressed through most of your 20s. What was that in aid of?
Oh, gosh.
If you mind sharing.
I know, it's fine. So, like, I had a really traumatic childhood, really quite dark.
Yeah.
There were a lot of death. There were a lot of abuse because I got trusted with people who didn't deserve my trust.
Yeah.
Me and my mum had a really rocky relationship. My nan brought me up till I was 11 and then she died. And then my mum brought me up till I was 18, 19, and then she died.
Yeah.
So my mum was a really good spiritualist, actually. You know, people used to flock to our house to get readings from her and stuff. And she seemed to, I don't know, it's like I feel like she got really abruptly taken off from the world, even though she was quite ill for a long time. She died when I was 19, and it was like the worst ever time of my life. You know, and I'd gone through countless council sessions and you know, like, school stuff, and
imagine.
So when G died, I was like, you know, fuck this life, I'm just gonna get drunk and party and go to Vegas. And luckily I met my now husband, who I've been with over 20 years.
Oh, lovely.
And he did get me through so much, bless him. I'd only just met him, you know. So I wasn't spiritual at all, because I was so cross with what had happened to me.
Yeah.
And I only really started calling myself a witch after I had my first baby, Florence, who's nearly 10. And it just completely transformed me. I think a combination of witchcraft and Reiki, because I got taught how to do Reiki 1 and 2. Them combined things and motherhood, like, really healed me, filled holes that were in my life. Suddenly I'm like, gosh, a lot of this stuff that's happened to me, I have actually brought on myself, you know, because I was just so angry. I was so, so angry. And you're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to feel your feelings. Your feelings are valid, but do not let them consume you. And I was absolutely letting them consume me because I was so cross.
Yeah.
So it's like the universe let me piss about for just under 9 years, going like, oh, I hate my life, and what do I do in my life, and do degrees and fail them. And and then I had this kid, and I was just like, I knew I was looking for like a community with my little girl. And I found all kinds of stuff, you know, like messy church, you know, and I kind of knew I wanted something like a messy church, but it wasn't right. I was definitely not into the whole, like, Jesus in the chair type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started baby wearing and breastfeeding. And them two things are quite, like, crunchy mums, you know, quite spiritual. And I got in with a load of these baby wearing mums who were meeting up and doing like goddess work and drawing vulvas and painting labyrinths and, you know, like eating cake they'd all made for each other. And I was a bit like, wow, I'm onto something here. What is this? One of them did a soul surprise box, you know, like there were a thing, weren't there, about 10 years ago where you signed up and you got surprises in the post.
Oh, yeah.
And they were so good. And one came and the theme was witch. So I was a bit like, oh, I've not really thought about this before. And it had like a mini cauldron and a little book and some herbs and, you know. And I read this book and it was just like, oh, my God, this is...
Talk to your soul.
...who I am. How have I not made this connection? And it's really weird because I was a goth growing up.
Yeah.
I liked all the not mainstream stuff. I love practical magic and the craft and all the... Sabrina and all, and I never made that connection.
Yeah.
And that, to me, now is, like, mind-blowing, you know, because it wasn't the right time.
It shows how unconscious we were as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think it's mad, like, now, when you're even saying, oh, but the breastfeeding and all that, and it's like, people find it nuts. Like, when I'm growing my own food, or have an attempt at it at the moment, I'm like, people see it as nuts. I'm like, it's the most natural thing in the world.
What, growing
and,
food?
Yeah, growing food. And it is like breastfeeding. That's what that's what animals do. And we are still an animal. It's
Absolutely.
But I think sometimes where the breastfeeding and people go into bottles, and I think this is an attack on women. And I'm not saying women should stay at home and just deal with the kids. I'm saying that is a big enough job and enough role.
Yeah.
They don't need it. Yes, if they want to go work. But so many women talk now, is like when you say, oh, what do you do? And they're like, oh, well, I have this job. And it's they downplay it because they feel they have to. It's an hard one, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I know you see stuff online, you know, where politicians are going into court and stuff and they've got the breastfeeding the kids.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. Like, that is how it should be. We can still do stuff and just put a sling on and just walk around with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the baby can just hop on and off whenever it wants.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because, you know, it's a can of worms because the body's so sexualized and you can't see boobs unless they're for the men and, you know, people don't like it. And it's like, it's such a shame. It could be so different if we just... Stop listening to bloody mainstream capitalism, you know, disconnecting us from the land. Ugh.
What's the most ideal way that you would look at living, if you could? Or are you living that at the moment?
I'm getting there, yeah. I am very, I'm so aware of myself and my impact. Touch my grass every single day, you know, like in the morning and the night.
Yeah.
And I have a greenhouse and a garden. My boundaries are really strong now and I've lost loads of friendships. And in the past, I would mourn them friendships, but now I'm like, no, they did a thing. They were good at the time. I've learned a lot. I'm, you know, like I let them go with love. And I don't have any enemies. I don't feel like I want them to suffer. But now I'm very internal family led. It's like I spend a lot of time with my girls now.
Yeah.
And I love that we have this witchy thing going on and I'm teaching them to be mindful and like who they are and don't pander to the stuff. I mean, I used to be quite obsessed with being liked and being popular and being seen, you know, to be successful. And just recently, in fact, I'd say really recently, like the past 2-3 years, that's dropped away from me as well, which is kind of like...
Liberating.
How is that? All the stuff I wanted to do, I mean, I used to feel bad that I don't work 9 till 5, I don't earn money to have a lurish, you know, a luxury lifestyle.
Yeah.
And now it's like, but do I need that? I just go camping with my kids, like 50 quid for weekend.
Yeah.
And we get dirty and we get herbs and we cook on stove and it's great.
And actually talk.
Yeah, yeah, connect, yeah. I have got a phone addiction. I am really working hard to not be addicted.
It's hard,
it's everywhere, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's not, the know how to, it is mind control.
Yeah.
But they also know that you need it to get out. I think Prince said it brilliantly. It's like, it's great as the internet, but you use it, don't let it use you.
Yeah,
and
God.
It's very, very good at what it does.
How advanced were he? When did he say that? Was it like late 90s?
He used to say all sorts of things. He used to say, I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is before Michael Jackson, so he could get the songs before Michael Jackson.
Amazing.
Could download them in his head and like, that is brilliant.
It is. Legend.
But no, and it's also, that's the whole point of it. And it, building, I like the thought of building communities and having this more wholesome outlook of life of actually spending time with your kids. Because I know you're saying you didn't. How much of an impact were it having a child that changed your mindset and all that? Because I found it lucky for me that I think someone said a quote is sometimes you needed your kids more than your kids needed you.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it were huge. My first baby, you know, because you don't know much about it and I was quite a stress head and the birth was quite traumatic for me because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But then finding those other parents, you know, that were doing all the baby wearing and the breastfeeding, they unlocked so much hidden information for me. And I think if I hadn't found them, I probably would have got it, but a lot slower, you know, because it were them that introduced me to all the stuff and the retreats and hanging out with the correct people and not valuing the stuff that regular people value. And then with my second baby, Clementine, her pregnancy was so much different because I knew lots and lots. And it was beautiful, actually. And I had a home birth
with no
midwife, not on purpose, but it was a free birth because I wanted a water birth.
Yeah.
And I was desperate for a water birth because I didn't get it from my first one because of complications. And the only way I could get one was if I had a home birth. So I was like, I'm having a home birth because I want to use this pool.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so beautiful, like the whole pregnancy and the birth, I could feel all the changes and the gradual. And I find that amazing that I could do that on my own and I wasn't scared and I was in control.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband was with me.
Is it just you two who were there as well?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, me little one, mum, grandma and granddad were staying, but they were in like a separate part of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just me in my bedroom, like a little nest.
Yeah.
Hiding away from the world, skin to skin. Nobody interfered. And I was like, I don't want any horrible like stretch and sweeps or, you know, don't touch me kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, if there was something wrong, I feel like I would have known, but I would always accept help, you know, like I would have got blue lighted in if something was wrong.
Yeah.
But just, it's one of the most massive achievements of my life is having a free birth.
Yeah.
I love it so much. So, yeah.
I love the idea of it. I don't know if you've heard as well. I'd seen the video on it a few years ago and then I did a bit of research on it and it's a dolphin assisted birth.
Oh, what is that?
Oh, you're going to love this.
Oh.
Like, and this is. There were a place out in Hawaii that were doing it. So it were netted off. There were plenty of dolphins in there, but obviously sharks couldn't get in or whatever. And when they were doing the dolphin-assisted births, every patient, every woman that went in there said it were painless, absolutely painless, and they'd swim around them, created
a
vortex.
That's amazing.
But the children, not only was it painless, these kids were coming out, they were having higher IQs than any other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all goes back to, and I'm really, really, I'm fascinated by Atlantis. And you think they're sacred out there. And it said it's like the I need to get this right. So what is it? The sonar waves that they're sending out. So it plays through the frequencies. It must play an impact. But then they banned them all in America. They banned them all. The government came and shut it down. And there were never any fatalities. There were never any problems. And it was something that fascinated me because I said, we've got two and I'd like another one. I said, could we ensure you're not getting me in the middle of the sea? But I've been desperate to get someone on the podcast and speak about it.
That is amazing.
But it's been hard finding them. There were a couple from UK that have done so.
Oh, wow.
But it was just an interesting topic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, water in general is just so healing, isn't it? And so emotional. Water birthing was definitely the way to go for me. It changed so much about my labour. There weren't no pain. Not like my first one, which was hell on earth, you know, in hospital.
See, ours weren't too bad, but even looking at them, they're not the nicest places. There's even a smell of the hospital, and it's not, I don't know.
It depends on the hospital, it really does. Yeah. There is some birthing centres that, you know, specialise in water births and beautiful music and beautiful lights, but there's not many of them, of course, because they're expensive to run.
Yeah. So when did you? So is it as soon as you had that gift that you knew that this is the path that you wanted to go on, that being a witch? As soon as you read it and it dropped in, what were your next like steps after that? Did you go full on like?
I did go quite full on because I had this little cauldron and I was going to use it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just started noticing patterns in my life, like things that if you open your mind, you do see, you know, things that keep cropping up.
Yeah.
And I knew a lot already in terms of like tarot and mysticism and the way my mum read for people. So it wasn't like a brand new, you know, I'd always known of like the spiritual realms and stuff. I mean, she'd never have called herself a witch, of course, but because it was really different back then. So it wasn't too hard, really, because I had a load of stuff that I'd inherited from her, you know, crystals. And I remember Googling Leeds witch, thinking there must be a Leeds witch I can learn off. And amazingly, as I Googled, the Wiccan lady, who was like my mentor, was on the road in Harrogate at a gem festival or something. Yeah. At the time I Googled, and I was like, wow, that is incredible. Jump in the car, get my ass over there, talk to her. And then she was telling me about everything she did and all that she sold. And then she said, oh, I'm just about to start a witch school in September. And this must have been, I don't know, early summer, maybe. Yeah. Do you want to sign up? And I was like, yeah, damn right, I want to sign up. And I did sign up, and I learned so much from her in that first year. And it was a weird year because it was 2019, 2020. And I remember being really, really sad at the time, quite still depressed, still quite at a loss. What I meant to do in my life, I was trying to be a jewellery designer, and it was just so hard because people didn't want to spend the money, which is fine, you know. It's not that it wasn't worth it, it was that they didn't have the money. Yeah. So I knew I was looking for something, and she was there at the right time. And then COVID came, we all got locked in, and I remember being like, I need to go to this class, I need it. I cannot believe how much it's changing me. I could feel the change in the present.
Yeah.
I became so obsessed, basically, and I bought all the books and borrowed all the books and unfortunately bought all the stuff, you know, like you go mad, don't you, and you sign up to all the witch casket and everything, you know, just to start collecting stuff. And that must have gone on for a good 2 or 3 years. And then just recently I've been like, okay, I don't need this stuff. I'm going to go to my garden, see what I can find, ask people things, read all the books. And when people get into it and want to know about witchcraft, they always go, ooh, you know, I want to do magic, I want to do spells, I want to like create the life. And I say, oh yeah, that's good, hold up though, you know, do as much learning as you can, learning about the history, learn about the rhythms of nature, the seasons, and start with tiny little rituals dedicated to the seasons, because you need the connection before you use the power. So really, spells, I think, big spells at least, should be one of the last things you attempt, because I mean, you're releasing something and there's no getting it back. When it's gone, it's gone, which is why your headspace has to be so right and positivity and all that.
Yeah, because this is my only problem with like manifestation spells, whatever you're going to call it. We ask for certain things that we think we want at that moment in time, and we don't want that. We're not even built up to the person that we want to be, and it's like, I want the X, Y, Z, and it's like, your soul don't even want that.
Exactly.
You were naturally give up, and I do it with a divine, whether it's my highest self, whether it's part of the universe, I don't know what it is, but I'll just say, guide me to where I'm supposed to be of service. Get out of my own way, because when no one's you're in service, it's your highest calling anyway. So it's better off than what I potentially think.
Yeah. Like FOMO, you know, people get FOMO, and it's like, don't get FOMO because you're not there, because it's not meant for you.
Yeah.
Because you might have a good time, but the ripple effect along the line might be different. It's not meant to be. And it's taken me a long time to get over FOMO. I'm over it now.
I stopped when I was wishing that I were out. And then when I went out, I don't know.
Having a good
be
time.
Here. I'm like that. So FOMO died off quite easily for me. So what is it like? So when you're casting spells or praying, do you pray then? Or is it?
It is praying. I don't call it praying, but it is. Yeah. I have an altar. I visit it. I have 2-3 altars now. But
three?
I have got a lot. Five. I've got an outdoor one, I've got a big one, and I've got a little bedroom one. And that is my anchor spot for spirituality. I go there and I talk to, I call them, you know, like the goddess and god energies.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily even deities. They're just, I believe, earthly energies, vibes.
Yeah.
I've always got a dialogue with them. So, you know, a few friends say, oh gosh, I'm worried about this, I might be made redundant, can you just have a word? And I love that. I'm like, yeah, we'll have a word.
Yeah.
I'll light a bit of incense, I'll ding a bell, I'll, you know, ground and breathe and just have a chat and see what they think. Not necessarily changing an outcome, but, you know, just asking them to be gentle.
Yeah. Do you get the voices back then talking to you, or do you get it through tarot, or is it, or you just kind of leave it at that and let itself work itself out?
It's a feeling. I get feelings, I get vibes, I feel stuff in my bones. I don't know if that's just instinct or because I'm a bit more plugged in than I was before. I don't necessarily like hear like clairaudient, but I do get just like a general gist or a vibe or a feeling or a doubt or stuff like that. I mean, I do a lot of sigil work. My main spell service is personal sigils, which kind of like runes, but made, you know, entirely on their own, unique. And I get ones for all kinds of stuff like protection, selling a house, passing exams. I did one recently for a house sale, my second house sale, and the lass really, really, really wanted to sell this house really quick and buy this other house. So I did loads of work, and I knew it had been sent out and it were working, but she were always messaging me going like, this house ain't coming, what is going on, you know? And I could feel her starting to doubt, which is never good. Never doubt the magic. But I was saying, there's a blockage somewhere. It's, something's not right, you know, the universe knows what you want, but it's not what you want, kind of thing. I didn't hear anything for ages. And then just last week, she messaged me saying like, oh my gosh, we sold the house. You said you worked. The house I wanted, not actually the house I wanted, because I wanted this house, wasn't even built yet. Didn't even see it. Saw this house, put an offer, sold. And I was like, there you go. Then that was the blockage because, you know, universe were like, no, not this one, this one.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen it, so...
It's funny how it all works out, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So what's your take on it, like with the deities and like, what do you see it as, there's a creator of this universe, or what's yours?
Ooh.
I know it's a deep question, and I don't have the answer. When people come up to me and they ask me certain questions, I'm like, my kind of thing is, I just see it as the universe. Yes, there has to be a creator at some point. I don't think it's a bearded man in the sky.
No, that's, it's not my a bearded take. Man in the sky.
And when I pray, I just think it's my highest version of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of talking to that. But everything else, I feel like when I've thought I know something, I know fuck all. So.
Yeah, I know. Always.
But it's always nice to hear other people's. Yeah. I'm not saying, listeners, that we know all answers. I'm not saying that.
Nobody knows all the answers.
It's just nice to hear other people's perspective of what they believe in.
Yeah, well, there's definitely the universe, which is the world, the outer space, all the energies that work together, the seasons, Gaia. There's a lot of deities in lots of different religions that witchcraft borrows, you know, respectfully. Different deities have different expertise and different strengths, and you call them in. And they're historical. I mean, like, generations of peoples from all over the world have known something and recorded it, and something's got to be there for it to be recorded, right? You know, and so when you believe in something, it gives it more power, I believe.
Yeah,
you know, and I think, you know, different religions have, I think a lot of them have the same beliefs, but they just call it different names, you know, like Allah and God, and don't know who else there is, but it is the same thing, it is the same being, the same energy. It's just they use a different name and a different metaphor.
So it's like changed to another deity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think they said that they're all carpet, like Krishna, Jesus. There's another one. I think there's three or four, and they were all carpenters, and they're all, and I'm like, it's the same story, just repeated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's patterns, if you look for the patterns. And then it's just stuff gets a little bit, you know, like, they have their own agendas, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, and that's when it sucks.
Yeah, well, I think that's where it all... I like to say, like, I'm an omnist. Like, I believe I can take bits and bats of all different religions, but I don't see them as a separate thing. But at the point where it draws me off is it feels like a cage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've spoke to other people that do go to church, and when I've asked them about, I'll come to this breathwork thing, I'll come, oh no, we can't do that. I'm like, why? Well, that's evil. I'm like, well, breathing's evil. Like, literally, if you, the creator created you, he created you so you could use breath work. There's a reason why. But as soon as you take your own divinity to yourself, these establishments don't like it because they they're not going to get no money anymore because you don't have to go to a church. You can go sit in your living room, you can go sit in your back garden.
It's the power.
You can, you take your power back. And that's where my problem runs in with religion, is to the point of it needs money. And like, I think there were, what's it called? It's going to do my head in. He was a comedian. He says, why does God need money? If he's created everything and he's got everything, why does he need your money? He doesn't.
I know. Well, I mean, stuff costs money to live. We can't get away from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's arguments about should witches be charging money to train people in, like, gardenering and stuff. Well, the answer is no, because you should do it because, you know, like, it's your faith he's passing on and stuff. And I kind of disagree. It's like, well, no, because you've got to put bread on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like people are making mountains, and they probably shouldn't. If they are making mountains, they probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I value something, I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah,
it's like Reiki. They actually actively teach you Reiki. It'll work. It's best if there's an exchange. If you pay for your Reiki, it'll work so much better than if you're giving Reiki for free.
Yeah, yeah. I found it fascinating, Reiki. Because when I first got into all this, I went to, I think it was Overside of Leeds, and I'd gone to it, and it were a gong bath with Reiki, and I'm thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm sceptical as all, and it were mainly women, I'd say they're only, it might have been me and one other bloke, but you had your lay there, and they're playing these crystal balls, I'm thinking, what the fuck's going on here? And they're laid down, and you've got a face mask on, so you can't see out, and as they're playing stuff, this, like, a shooting pain were going into my shoulder, and I thought, I'm not showing, like, I knew that I didn't show that it were hurting. It started to really hurt. And then a woman, she'd come over and she just put her hand on where it were hurt, and it went like that. And I came home and I remember telling Zoe, and I went, whatever's just happened there, that was like a little indication there's more to this than what meets the eye. So it was them little nugget, I call them like little nuggets to make you keep on going further down the path to see what's going with it.
Yeah. God, I love Reiki. I love it so much. It is so powerful. But, I mean, even sound baths, you know, like when you get told what a sound bath is, you're like, what a load of crap. I've never heard such kind of bath. You know, am I really into this? And then I go and do a sound bath, and I'm like, when I'm there, I'm crying and going, like, oh, my God, the power is amazing.
Yeah. I'm not telling anyone to take any hallucinogenics, but we've just been on my stag do at the weekend, and they were saying, what are these ceremonies? I said, sometimes we go to ceremony, and I says, you'll have mushrooms or whatever plant medicine. I says, but when they're twanging, like, certain frequencies, like whatever it may be, crystal balls, gongs, I says, it's like, I'm going back to my party days now, like when we were on, you'd had, because I know some lads have had ecstasy, says it's like when the music is running through your veins and it's you can feel it. I says it's doing that, but the different tones is like twanging the very essence. It feels like it's going through your veins. I says, so there's something within it. So when they're saying everything's sound, frequency, vibration, I don't know. I feel like there's certain parts of it that wakes up your DNA.
Yeah.
And like wakes up parts of you that needed waking up. Because it's all in your it's all stored in your fascia as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's how it travels around, making that.
And I found it amazing the other day listening to a podcast, a scientist, and he was saying they've only just acknowledged that it's the fascia that keeps up the bones, not the other way around. I'm like, obviously, like when the bones just put the bones and just fall to the floor.
It's like a bag of bones.
What would you say? The best part of being a witch for you?
It's massive. It's just so positive. Like, witchcraft is incredibly positive for me. And I forget, you know, like, it's not positive for the general population.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the connection. Witchcraft, for me, gives me connection to other people, connection to the earth and to spirit and to the land, but also connection to myself, my higher self. So there's the triple connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Of so much good power, good positivity, the ability to conversate with myself and unpack why I feel this way rather than being the victim.
Yeah.
You know, it enables me to question my reality a lot and know that I've got the power to change things. It's huge. It does. It's taken over every single aspect of my life.
Yeah, for the better.
Yeah, and I'm so happy I found it.
What angers you most, like, with the burning of the witches? like throughout history. What's your take on it? Why was that being done?
That was nothing about witchcraft, that was about women,
Yeah.
hating women and taking the power in the community off them. Most, probably nearly all people who got tried as a witch obviously weren't a witch. They just had knowledge that the patriarchy didn't like.
Yeah.
I remember going to the Spoon exhibition, you know, the memorial spoon.
Oh no, what's that?
It's really cool. It's a travelling exhibition, and it's you ask for a little spoon on cloth, and you get a witch or who was tried as a witch, and then you draw or create a design around this spoon, and you send it back, and they create kind of like a bunting of
Yeah.
the spoon. But because there's so many, the bunting is massive, and it fills a room, you know, like all over the place,
Yeah.
and every single piece of cloth is a woman,
Yeah.
like represents a woman. I went to Pendle Hill to see this, which was quite a big deal in itself.
Yeah.
Was it last year, year before? And I wasn't prepared for the emotion when I got there, reading all the stuff about it. It absolutely devastated me. Do you know, and this
Yeah.
woman came over to me and was like, I know you get it. I know you understand it. It's like, I cannot believe how big a deal this was.
Yeah.
And I'm cross because it wasn't about witchcraft. It was about just hating women. And I feel it even now. And when you've got two little girls as well,
Yeah.
you've got to shield them from the BS that they pick up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, are we still dealing with this? Oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I'm always a bit iffy about the witch wound and the we are the granddaughters of the witches you tried to burn and stuff. It's like, well, it's not really right because they
Yeah.
weren't, honestly. Probably like 90% of them weren't.
Yeah.
You
Do
know.
you feel like what's the next step? Because obviously, with witches and getting burnt at the stake, and then throughout history, there's like a suppression of, I think it's information that that people want to tap into that's outside themselves, and they're actually making better of their lives. Like you're saying, it's had such a positive impact of you taking your power back and seeing there's many other outcomes other than mainstream narrative. This time, it seems like everyone's finding out in their own little ways in a collective. And what do you think capitalism is trying to get a hold of, and how they're going to go about it this time to try and silence? Or do you think the genie's out of the bottle?
I think we're on a pivotal moment.
Yeah.
I think it could go either way. Is that the 5G and stuff?
Yeah.
And I think we need to make a decision not to be competitive. Like everything is about being competitive. And I talk about this all the time on my podcast. Like I'm not your competitor. You know, there's
Yeah.
plenty of room for success for all of us because I'm not you and you're not me and we offer different stuff. And we can both do Reiki. We can both do witch podcast, but there's enough people out there for us all. And I think if that were to change, just that thing
Yeah.
completely,
Yeah.
it'd change massive amounts in terms of capitalism. People go, oh, no, I can't do that. It's, you know, somebody already out there or it's my competition. And I go, no, reframe it for you.
Yeah. It's the abundance. Once
Yeah.
you realize the enough, I'm quite competitive. When I started the podcast and all this delving into spirituality, it dissolved a lot of that anyway.
That's
Because it
good.
realized there was a massive shift in knowing that I ain't going to do it by myself. I need to collaborate.
Yeah.
We all need to collaborate. And I think that's where you see where they're using avenues, whether it be in religion, race, creed, sex, whatever, they realize if they can divide us down and no unity, they can win. They have a good chance because it's divided in numbers. But if we all stand tall together and realize that there's enough to go around, we're all taught that there's a lack of everything.
Yeah.
And
And it began with Burning Times. I think that was one of the biggest beginnings of it, like of pitching us against each other and dobbing each other in it, you know, for their own survival.
yeah.
I mean, it's not like that now, you know, it's not quite as extreme, but that's why I think that's why it's worse with women because of that
They touched on that
history.
with COVID though, didn't they? When they were saying, oh, there were people dobbing each other in for having gatherings or whatever. And then you're looking at the very top of it, they were doing it themselves
Oh
in Parliament.
gosh, yeah,
So, but
partying.
you look at how they did it there, they made each other dob each other in. And it's always through fear that they do it. And it really pisses me off, to be quite
Yeah,
honest.
no wonder for them. It was so extreme, wasn't it? Because the posters were like you're killing people if you go out and have a life
Yeah.
where they're drinking champagne in gardens. Like, you what?
And then you were seeing Ascot and stuff, race course,
oh
like
my
in the
God.
top of tiers,
It was mad.
they're allowed to do what they want. And I'm like, it took a lot of people, didn't it? Well, there's still people that haven't woke up from it, but we'll.
God, I can't believe we lived through it. It was only 5 years ago, and it feels like
time's flown, isn't it?
It's mad. A lot of that is, though, because we're distracted.
Yes.
On the screen. People go, oh, there's a time slip, and I can feel time's not the same. It's like, time's not the same because you're not aware, because you're like this. And I'm the same too. I'm not calling anybody out.
No.
That's why time's going quick, because we're not noticing. We're not
being
in the present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jinx. Yeah.
And my idea is, oh, well, I want to get to the point of just having a normal, go back to a 33:10. Or somewhat similar. I just love to, and the people go, what, you wouldn't want to, what about photos? I'm like, well, I'll take a camera.
Yeah, just go back
I'd like
to
go
a,
back
an
to a camera.
We're out of screen.
Yeah,
get the camera out of screen.
And I says that, it's once it's that cognitive movement, like, and it's, I don't know, it does, it seems, and I don't want my kids to be having them. I just don't. I think they're dangerous. I know you can be use them in great ways.
You can, but it's gone past that.
Yeah.
We depend on them too much.
It's become the weapon, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like these are silent wars now. And I think we've had the discussions of, you don't know what, a lot of people are guarding the kids and they know what's going on in our world. As soon as they pick up one of them things, you don't have a clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
I was at a teacher's house the other day and he said, he's quite glad that he's seen what these kids are, how they operate, because he says they'll tell them all secrets of how they get around what the parents, the blockages and stuff they've put on. He says, I'll be quite equipped for my kids having them. I'm like, it just evolves so quick. I wouldn't know. I struggle to send emails.
I'm hoping there'll be a movement with my kids' generation, the alpha generation,
yeah,
where they actively refuse a phone. I mean, it's kind of already happened with the generation before them with alcohol. So many young people don't drink now. Not like we used to drink when we were young.
No.
Like, it used to be all about drinking when we were young and underage. My nephews, the teetotal, they're like 21, 23, don't need it. And I always go like, well, how weird is that? But
it's brilliant. But I was saying this other day, like, how do you do it? And it says, you don't need to be a mini little Hitler, like with food going, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat, don't drink that. Bring the awareness to it. So like when you're at a family gathering, or if you're out, I don't know, wherever you are, and someone's been drunk and disorderly, and your son or daughter asks, make them aware that they're drunk. And the more that they see these people doing that, and they'll go, why would I want to be like that? Why would I want to be falling all over the place? But it's glamorised. I think it would glamorise that.
It was. Definitely.
It were always the fun people were having it. And I think it's just changed.
I
think it is bringing that awareness to it. Don't be going, oh, I don't know. You see parents, and I probably did first with Archie. It's like, oh, mucky beer, like holding a bottle of beer when he's 2 years old or whatever. Not that he's drinking it,
no,
but you're like...
because it's fun.
Yeah. And it's how you bring them up to see certain things in certain lights and give them that awareness.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing, isn't it?
And alcohol really scares me now. I mean, I do drink, but only a glass maybe once or twice a week with my tea.
Yeah.
I don't really go out and drink anymore. I go out, but I tend to take the car so I can get home
cheap. Yeah,
But the whole, like when you're young and you pass out, you black out and you get home, and I've been there where I wake up and I'm covered in mud and my phone's broken. And how frightening is that? There's the whole, it takes your spirit away. Like,
yes. Well,
oh my God.
We're blackout drunk and you're like, I don't remember the next morning.
How frightening is that?
And you're like, well, it was something else. Something else came in you and got a driver's seat. And yeah, it was fun. Like, sinning is fun to a certain extent. But I don't want to be that way. I had an hard one because it was my stag do last weekend. And I was like, I don't want to drink. I haven't drank since November, and it's something that I've toyed with, and I'm like, look, it's my send off. I think I'd kick myself if I didn't. I'm aware, and I've looked at, I'm still loving when I've had a drink. It's only when you've been triggered and stuff that you can be nasty. So I think allow yourself that time to, if you do want to delve into it, do it in the right manner. Don't let it be every weekend or something where you are losing these, you're losing this awareness of being present. Now when I have it, I think because people have been around me, like, didn't realise how tired and stuff you are for days on end. So it does take a toll, but I think Hayley, when she came on the other day, she was saying, even when they do a toast here, when say people do a toast with champagne, it's to toast a part of them to give to you. It's a ritual in itself, and yeah, I never knew that. I know it makes sense. Oh, let's do a toast, because you're sacrificing a bit of your presence within that moment to the alcohol, but it's also a gift of love.
Oh, I like that. That's witchcraft. I mean, I put stuff on the altar like that.
Yeah.
Toasts for the goddess and god.
Yeah.
Bit of mead.
Yeah.
That's cool. Is that like that?
Have you ever been down to Stonehenge?
No, but I'm going summer. Oh, my God.
It was so good. You'll love
it. The holiday of my life. It's a big deal because I'll be 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mum didn't make it to 40. I'm going to talk about this.
No, talk. And
my last...
Expand.
My last holiday I had with my mum was there in Cornwall.
Really?
Down that way. And we went to Land's End and had a picture with the Land's End sign.
Yeah.
So we're going in August and I'm 40 in September. And it's a really weird all-round final ending to it all. I feel like it's going to project me to the next part of my life. Yeah. So it will be emotional. And while I'm down there, I'm going to catch the chalice well. I'm going to go to the stones, all the witchy, you know, the witch museum and stuff. Yeah. I've not been to, like, I'm a witch and I've not been to Stonehenge. Hello. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a big deal.
It's a magical experience. It's just, there were pagans there. There were all walks of life. It was mad to see a sunrise at that time in the morning, like 4 or 5 o'clock, and seeing maybe 10,000 people there. Yeah, it was surreal, I'd say. As you were, I always remember when you were, I nearly woke up and like, I can't be asked going down. No, like, you've come down, you've got to totally experience this part. So as you're going down and sun's coming, dawn's happening, and it were all fields. It just looked, it were beautiful. Amazing. It were really beautiful.
I can't wait.
Are you taking children?
Yeah, it's a family holiday.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what I said. I went with boys, I think there were 5 or 6 of us. But we all said we'd love to take the children down because they were all just playing and it was nice.
Yeah, I love to share my witchcraft with them.
Yeah.
They're a huge part of my life now. And even parenting, you has the whole like, oh, you know, mummy drinks and mummy, why does mummy swear? And so hard being a parent. I mean, yeah, it is hard being a parent, but we signed up to it for a start and it's not their fault.
No.
You know, you can have your feelings, but be aware of your impact and how you portray yourself and the word you speak, because they have power. It all, in my mind, it all connects back to my witchcraft and my belief.
They take much of an interest into witchcraft then?
Not my little one. My little one's only 6.
Yeah.
My 9-year-old is quite interested now, and she makes black salt with me.
Yeah.
And we do a spell, you know, just a simple thing about being connected as mother and daughter, and she likes to be around the fire. We love camping and we do little rituals when we camp, and there's no screens or anything when we camp because I do proper grassroots, like compost toilets camping. I don't do any of them shower blocks, internet stuff. and I think she loves that, you know. When she's sad, she'll go, I'm just going to go outside and do some grounding.
Yeah.
And I love that. How amazing is that, you know? And she'll help me weed and pick some plants she knows she can eat and nibble them. And
do you go foraging then?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we do with wild garlic. We've had a lot of wild garlic recently.
Yeah.
Lots of soups and stuff. Just really simple stuff, you know, like dandelion. You can't go wrong with dandelion nail.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's courses you can do. I had a look on Eventbrite and they've got a few. And I like some of them I wanted to take my little lad on till he'd be too young. But my other niece and nephew, they were in garden helping the other day. Like, oh, give us another job. I went, would you want to come foraging? Like, well, I was foraging. I told him, like, yeah, yeah. And I thought, kids, it's amazing that actually they're more connected than what you think. It's just giving them opportunities to do so.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to add, say, to the viewers?
If you're drawn to it, there's a reason you're drawn to it. You know, like, if you keep going, ooh, I should maybe look into this, absolutely do, because that is your knock on the door to get involved in it. And if your intent is pure, and you want to do it for yourself and nobody else, then that is the reason to do it.
Yeah.
I cannot explain enough. There's no words to say how positive it is and how well it's made me. Mm-hmm. And also podcasting as well, weirdly enough, that has made me well, because you use your voice, like source energy, speak your truth. And the act of doing podcasting manifests stuff. Yeah. So that's magic as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good for a rounded view as well. You get to have conversations with people that you not, wouldn't normally get to, would you?
No, exactly. Yeah.
Is there any like witch meeting groups that you do? Or
I just do stuff mostly with the Wiccan lady. I know there's a lot around Leeds, coven-wise, if you had a look, because the Pagan Federation, they're a good place to start. Witch Fest in London, they've got a lot of good communities. But, I mean, if they're for you, they'll be easy to find.
Yeah,
so don't worry. Don't worry about it. And I'm mostly solitary, and that suits me. And I won't always be solitary, you know. People, yeah. I used to be obsessed with joining a coven, and now it's become obvious that it's not the right thing right now, but yeah. It will be at one point. Mm-hmm. Just be easy. It's amazing how easy stuff gets when you just stop choking it to death, trying to control it, and just going with it and trusting the universe and asking. And yeah, I love it. I love it.
I think that's the old way, though, the old paradigm that's getting left behind is the control. Mm-hmm. Even for myself, of like, I just let things just go as they're going to go.
Yeah.
And you realise how much resistance and so much lighter you feel once you've let that go. You move with ease.
That's good. It's a nice way to live. I'll live a long time because of it, which is good. It wasn't like that for the most part of the beginning of my life.
Gripping onto a roller coaster.
Exactly, yeah, for my dear life. Like, shouldn't even be on this roller coaster.
I want to be on that one over there.
Yeah, exactly. Missing out. And yeah, listen to the Bellwitch podcast.
Yes, definitely. Give it a listen. We'll put the link in the bio. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.